there's the two poles against the virtue of hope, right? And I think that's a helpful way to maybe start the conversation, to frame it. Presumption and despair. Those are the two poles, the two opposites that are sins against hope. And so we live our life somewhere in the middle between presumption, God's always going to forgive everything I do, no matter what I do, no matter what my posture in that whole thing. And then despair, something that I've done is beyond even the redeeming merits of Jesus Christ on the cross, right? Those are two sins against the hope of the theological virtue of hope. And the catechism says that. So if you want to look at it more, it breaks it open a little more in the catechism. But that's where we live. And I think, you know, people want, a lot of times people are binary in this regard, right? Sometimes we need to be binary. Sometimes we don't. This we don't. I mean, because we live in that. Of course, we know that we're not worthy enough of God's love. But he, in his love and mercy, creates us and desires for us to be in communion with him. So we live in that tension. I know that I'm never going to measure up, but I also know that I have a merciful God. Amen. And so the church helps us out with this. I think one expression of that would be the expectation the church has for us to receive the Eucharist worthily, right? She's very clear on some sins that if you commit these sins, if you commit mortal sins, do not receive communion until you are reconciled through the sacrament of reconciliation. So don't receive one sacrament until you've received another sacrament. It's all in the sacramental system, that whole thing, right? So if I miss Mass on Sunday and I don't have a good reason for it, well, then guess what? You know, continue to go to Mass, but don't receive communion until I have been reconciled back to God. So a recognition that we do sin and we do turn against the love of God. He's not hurt by that, but it affects us and our capacity to receive him. And so we do what the church asks in that regard. So that's an expression, I think, of this acknowledgement that we don't want to be presumptuous of God's mercy, that we do some things that are pretty bad. And even they may seem benign to us, but as far as the expectations of the church, she said, you've gone over the line. And so you need to be reconciled back to God. But at the same time, we all know that none of us, even after you're reconciled, even through the sacrament of reconciliation, are never truly worthy. But we have a merciful God, and so we rely on that mercy. So I think that's an example of where we rely on mercy, but we're not presumptuous of it. Yes, there's a line in the sand, and we don't want to cross over that. And also, we're talking about a relationship. We're talking about love. So we don't play the game of going right up to the line. That's not living a gesture of love. That's not the spirit of what's going across. So there's an acknowledgement of something, but there's an acknowledgement of something that you've gone over the line. There's also an acknowledgement that none of us are truly worthy, but we're going to continue to move forward together. And I'll give you another example. Maybe it's kind of a straw man. Maybe you've heard it before. People that maybe aren't Catholic and say, maybe it's a subtle knock. Like, well, if I really believe that was Jesus and the Eucharist, I would crawl up the aisle. And that's a nice, pious thing to say, but it really is, if you scratch it a little bit, it is an insignificant account of God's mercy. Jesus knows that we're not worthy. He knew when he instituted the sacrament that we're not worthy, but he still wants us to be in communion with him. So even when we've just gone to confession and we have some venial, I looked at somebody the wrong way, then, okay, well, technically speaking, I've committed a sin and I'm not really in that perfect communion to receive it. He knows that. So there is that latitude of, yeah, none of us are perfect. We know that. We still walk up and receive communion, right? Whatever your posture is, you're walking up that aisle to receive communion. And yes, we believe he's the real presence. Well, how do you reconcile the two? Because we have a God of mercy. We're not presumptuous of it. The church gives us parameters in which we need to do that worthily, but we also recognize that mercy. By the very fact that we're there walking up to receive him, we recognize we need that mercy. We also recognize we don't want to be presumptuous of it. So I think there's in receiving communion and that church's treatment on that, there's an expression of that idea, that balance between the two, right? So we're not worthy, but we continue to go forward in confidence in our life because we have a merciful God. And if we don't have a merciful God, then this whole system doesn't work, right? Then and all that. So anyway, I like to point to that. I think is the church kind of speaking and giving expression to this idea of living with a merciful God, but not being presumptuous of it.
Well, now, Father, because I like to attend daily mass, I'm thinking every time I go up that aisle, am I worthy? Because I feel like maybe...
But that's what he pointed out. None of us are.
I know, but I feel like then in the second question, he answered, like, don't do things like, okay, I've gone this far to the line. I can check the box and still go to communion. Like, I'm overthinking the list. And then I thought, why is there not a list? I mean, we have the Ten Commandments. Todd is rolling his eyes at me, Father, because now you made me overthink this in some ways.
I mean, he just pointed out it's a balancing act. Like, don't be scrupulous about it. Stop. Let me tell you what I've done for years.
Okay.
Which is almost like a cheat, Father. This is almost a cheat. Because I come up and I have the blessing of, you know, 6 days a week being an extraordinary minister of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And I come up, and when I'm kneeling down before the sanctuary, I say the exact same prayer every single time.
Which is?
Mary, lend me your heart that I may worthily receive your son. Mm-hmm. So it's a cheat. I'm not
calling
worthy.
On your mother.
Exactly. I'm not worthy. She is. She is. That's why, if you notice, I go up there and I'm smiling when I receive communion.
There you have it. There's a way to do it. More than one way to skin a cat. There's one of them.
Because if I start asking the same questions you're asking right now, I'll turn around and go back to my pew.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a situation, as an extraordinary minister, I, in essence, have to receive.
Yes.
I can't say, oh, no, Father, I'm not ready. I have to go to confession. But I'll still give Jesus out to everybody.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
No.
It would look weird up there.
Yeah.
The optics are just strange. Right, Father?
It would be strange. Yes, it would be strange.
I think the fact that we're having this conversation means at least our hearts are pointed in the right direction. Like, we want to be worthy to receive our Lord. Imperfect as it is.
But it's the word that we're getting hung up on.
Which one?
We're never going to be worthy.
Okay.
We need to... It just needs to be... I don't know, licit? I mean, what would be the right way to say it, Father?
Right. Well, the word you hear is state of grace. You're in a state of grace. And, you know, that's that may be not a terribly precise thing, but it gets the point across that you're in a state of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, that you have not rejected.
Like, there was a girl in the youth group that used to always sit in the very back pew of the church. And one time I asked her about it. I said, well, why are you all the way back here? And she goes, oh, I just don't feel worthy to sit any closer. And I said, well, really, we're not worthy to be in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So you should get out if you're hung up on that. But I think God desires us to be close. I mean, that's why he wants to come inside of us. I mean, it's a desire for that closeness. It's for us. It's not for him. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our prayers. He doesn't need our worship. That's all for us. That's what it's about. It's love just pouring out like a waterfall into the nave of the church. And it's an invitation to come. That's what he wants. Right, Father?
Yeah, there's one of the verses for the daily mass expresses that really well. And I forget the exact words about it, but... God, who have no need of our prayers, but benefit us for salvation. Something, mm-hmm. something along those mm-hmm. lines, you know. And that gives expression of what you're talking about. That's right. Those prayers are for us, right? I mean, he knows what we need. It's our posture. And going before him and having the confidence to go before him and being receptive to the things that he wants to give us. Yeah, I agree with you. That's true. That's very true. It's very true.
Sorry to be the person hung up on the list, though. But, okay, so a bad look, that's okay. What about a harsh retort?
You're killing me right now.
I know. This is why I can't overthink it. I just kind of go up there like a humble...
This? I can see her like stuttering and staggering as she's walking up. Hang on a second. Wait, no, go ahead. You can come around me. I'm not sure yet. I'm still rethinking this. Am I in enough grace? Am I in the state of grace?
See, this is what
How many stars out of five. I need customer reviews on my grace. Oh, my Lord. Stop it.
Okay. All right, Father, I'm going to try. I'm just going to leave it at the mercy of God, which is what the circling back to the main theme of the topic today.
That's what he's been saying the whole time.
So, you know, we can define it, but ultimately it's beyond us, right? So the church attempts to do that. Here's some categorical things. But I think if you think about sin, you can't, and I mentioned this in OCIA class, we thought people said, what a mortal sin. So there's, you know, there's objectively moral sins by virtue of the object of the act that they're of a degree. But I think if you cling to that too tightly and just look at the objective ones, well, there can be subjective ones. And maybe this doesn't help at all with what you're talking about of being, what's, am I going over the line? But I think if you really were completely angry with somebody and just like broke open and yelling at them and everything else, like, well, is anger a mortal sin? Well, I mean, objectively, it's not. Like, it's not the object of the act. It's not. But the severity could kind of push it in there. Mm-hmm. And well, who can tell me? Is there a judge? Well, there's a judge, and he's the good judge, right? And so no one can. It's too subjective to say, yeah, definitively, it's a mortal sin. But I think, again, getting back to that relational thing, do I feel like that was so awful, I don't really need to be receiving communion? Okay, well, good for you if that's your, you know, if you're honed in that way. Mm-hmm. But I think to say, I'm just going to cling on to those objective mortal sins and really not forget about the rest of them, then again, I think that the moral proposal of the church doesn't do for you what it's intended to do. Because I think there is a level of anger you can get towards someone and expressing that anger, which would push you into like, I should probably confess before I do that again. Even though anger is not an objective mortal sin, by virtue, the object of the act doesn't push it into the mortal realm. But you know, you could have a severity where it could. And there's not going to be anybody that's going to be able to tell you that, you know, explicitly and say, yeah, I'm going to drop the gavel. That's definitively the case, right? If I don't go to Mass because I'm watching the Jets in the morning, then that's pretty much the gavel falls on that, right? Like there's not a lot of extenuating circumstances. I'm in perfect health and I do something and I just don't go to Mass. Well, okay, that's a little bit easier than, well, I really opened up on my spouse, my child, whatever. I should probably go to communion. I should probably go to confession before I go to communion again. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's kind of a healthy spirituality.
But then,
I don't want that threshold to be super low. It doesn't need to be super low, but it does need to, like, the reality needs to be there that I could do something very serious to, you know, offend God with the severity of whatever we're talking about. And go ahead, Tyler.
But it does require that balancing act, because just as you said, we're trying to basically walk a tightrope in between the two severity sides of this into God's mercy. And I really don't even want to say tightrope, because that sounds like we're going to fall off of it. It's a path. It's a path, okay?
Right.
But I do remember one time that I made one of my kids upset because I kind of opened up on him about something that had to do with finances and college and all this stuff, and it kind of fell on me, and I said, that's presumptuous of you, you know, we don't really have the money, you shouldn't have done that, and it made him cry, and then I felt bad about it. And then the next day I went off to lead a retreat for a week, you know, for these adults, and the very first thing that night we had confession. So I went to the priest, and then I started crying telling the story of what happened, and he goes, okay, are you done beating yourself up? And I was like, what do you mean, Father? I'm like, I made him cry. He goes, yeah, we're going to do that in life. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to do that. But God wants you. Like, he kept saying it. God wants you. Like, do you understand that? And I think that's the part that sometimes we may forget. Right, Father?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're right. Mm. I mean, the corrective needs to be there, right? You tell the truth in love. And so we're not perfect. Sometimes we don't tell the truth in love. Sometimes we do are way too severe. And I do think that threshold needs to be really, really high. I'm not advocating just because I look at somebody the wrong way or I say a crossword. I mean, I really think that threshold needs to be high if I'm going to not receive communion because of it. So I didn't want everybody to think, again, we don't want to walk the tightrope, as you mentioned. It's not like that. But I do need to recognize and not be so confident, like, well, it wasn't one of the objective mortal sins, so I'm good. nobody can, you shouldn't be living like that. No one should be living like that.
I got around it. I'm in line.
Exactly. Anger is an objective.
Thank you, Father Driscoll. Can we get a blessing before you leave?
Sure. May Almighty God bless all who are listening, Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Father Driscoll.
You bet, Todd. Ellen, talk to you next week.
Okay.
He's so good. I feel better.